Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, with Gene and Tim, we have Mark Christopher Lee joining us. And he'll be talking shortly about his background in music, but also about a UFO documentary called God versus Aliens. We all want to know about that. In the meantime, Tim and I want to bring up a couple of things here. There have been two passings, as they say, in the last week that we want to talk about. One is a fellow traveler by the name of Ian Punnett, and he was the weekend host for the Coast to Coast AM radio show for 24 years. I understand, Tim, that you were a guest on the show a few times.
Yes, that's correct. At least twice that I talked with Ian. He was always a great host, very gracious, and I always enjoyed being with him, so he will be missed.
I understand he died of a liver disorder, and we send our sympathies to his family and friends. Another death comes our way here. I'm sure both of you have heard of the Smothers Brothers. And Tommy Smothers died at the age of 86. I think a lot of people who were younger never heard of them, but they had a show on the CBS TV network in the late 60s, and they were canceled because they went afoul of some of the regulations for content. So that's why they canceled the show after 3 years. But with the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, they introduced people like Steve Martin and Glenn Campbell and people like that, even Rob Reiner, who later was on the show All in the Family and became a top-notch film director, was one of the early people to appear with the Smothers Brothers in the 60s. I think largely as a comedy writer, as a matter of fact. Okay, Mark, let's talk about you and talk about things that are ongoing here. One of the things I saw in your bio, which interested me, is that you've advocated for fair royalties for artists, that musicians get underpaid for their work in the music industry. And I know that this is also in the movie industry, where lots of actors have had to sue the studios because they got ripped off. So how did you get started in this? Were you ripped off by a record company at any point?
Well, basically, this is more kind of highlighting the lack of royalties in the streaming age. We actually set our own record label up, Digital Only, back in 2004, 2005, because we kept getting offered basically dodgy recording deals by the old-fashioned record labels. So we decided to start our own label up, so we owned all the rights and everything like that. And we could be our own bosses, so that's what we did. And we started releasing music on the likes of Spotify and Apple. But then we realized that actually it's not paying very much. I think it was about 2015, I read an article in an English newspaper. It was actually by an American professor called Mike Errico. He was a music professor. And he was going about the history of songwriting and how pop songs tended to be like 2.5 minutes long simply because of the length of 7-inch vinyl. And he challenged songwriters and artists of today to adapt to the media of today, which is streaming, and just write 30-second songs, because basically you get paid after 30 seconds of a song, and it's not very much, so why would you write longer songs? So we started this campaign for fair royalties back in 2015, where we just recorded songs that were 30 seconds long, and we put 100 of them on one album, which got its Guinness World Record and got lots of publicity for this cause. So we've been campaigning ever since, really, with a series of 30-second song albums, which are all out there. And we made a film about it called Inspired, the 30-second song movie, which is out on Amazon Prime. which tells the story of this campaign. And it's been very successful. We've had meetings with Spotify about this issue, and we've had some change, but in the streaming age, like you said, with movies, it's getting fair pay for all creative people, which is difficult nowadays.
Of course, with the movie industry, the Screen Actors Guild and also the Writers Guild in the U.S. struck for months, which delayed production of movies and TV shows. And one of the issues to be resolved was streaming rates. But it's not just the current situation being underpaid. There are vast numbers of artists over the years who got ripped off by their record label. Even back in my time in the 60s, we had a famous artist called Tommy James with a band called the Shondells, and he did Crimson and Clover, I Think We're Alone Now, and great songs like that. His record label that he joined was a front for the mob. He wrote a book about it. And he had to literally beg for the guy to hand him some money. This is a guy who was selling tens of millions of records. Another example was a group called the Turtles. They sang such songs as
Happy Together,
Eleanor, that kind of thing. And their record label, Whale Records, I think it was called, ripped them off for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow. Yeah, I've got an example. The 60s band, The Small Faces, they were actually owned basically by Don Arden, who was basically Sharon Osbourne's father. And he was a notorious gangster. And the Small Faces, very, very big 60s band, didn't make any money at the time because they were just ripped off by Don Arden. And Sly and the Family Stone. Sly Stone never made any money. Had all these big hits, very influential artist, but never made any money and was living in squalor until recently. So, yeah, you're right to highlight this issue, and I think it's very important that, you know, we treat artists with respect and dignity, which I don't think there were a lot of the time.
There aren't a lot of Taylor Swifts or Paul McCartney in the world. John Fogerty, who was the lead singer, the founder, and the main songwriter of Creedence Clearwater Revival, they were ripped off by the company they were doing music for, Fantasy Records.
Right.
Yeah. And then there was a lawsuit where they sued Fogerty for stealing his own music in a new song. And he literally had to go into court and show how he does the chord changes to go from one song to another. It's like suing Paul McCartney if he writes a song that sounds like Yesterday or something. And, he would not perform any Creedence songs for years until he got this settled down. Then finally, he did. Of course, the Beatles were ripped off by this guy, Alan Klein. That's the time when the Beatles broke up as a band back around 1970. Again, they were ripped off. So what do musicians do? Do they just go into business for themselves and hope that'll work?
That's what Taylor Swift has done, isn't she? She was stuck in a really dubious contract with Scooter, I can't remember his name, but her first record label. So she was stuck in this deal. So what she's done is, you know, taken ownership of all, re-recorded all her albums and re-released them, and she owns everything, and she's been on tour, she owns all the rights to the tour. I mean, that's a very, very constructive thing to do, but obviously she's got a lot of fans, so she can do that worldwide. I worry for the up-and-coming talent that it's going to get lost because they're going to get disenchanted, really, with the way the whole industry works. And especially more, it's coming into more kind of pay-to-play, like the old payola now, where you're going to have to new bands are going to have to pay to get on Spotify, and that's where it's going to end up. We need to find a positive way forward with that somehow.
Well, of course, these businesses succeed on paying low royalties to artists. So just remember, when you stream a song, and this is something I didn't know until you just told me, that even if it's Hey Jude by the Beatles, which is over 7 minutes, or MacArthur Park by Richard Harris, they're only paid on the first 30 seconds of that song.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, boy. Well.
And it's about 0.003 cents per stream. That's what you get. Not much, is it?
You see, we hear about billionaires like Taylor Swift and Paul McCartney, and we forget that most artists can't even eke out a middle-class living. That goes for singers, songwriters, and movie stars. Mark Christopher Lee Tim Swartz, Gene Steinberg. We got so much more to come. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Mark Christopher Lee joins us. And we started the show because he's a musician, talking about the way that music artists are ripped off by the fact that even though there are a few who make lots and lots of money, a lot of times it's from concerts, not the record they produce, because the concerts, they can pull a big piece of the action to appear in public. With recording, Well, you have all these recording companies that don't care about the artists. And a lot of artists now do it themselves, but then they have to contend with iTunes, and which used to be iTunes, Apple Music, and Spotify, and everyone, to make sure they get a piece of the action. They get something for everything they do, but something that is so infinitesimal they'll never see it. They'll get a 5-cent check at the end of the year. They want something that represents the work they do. Again, as I said, most actors, most singers, most musicians in general, most screenwriters cannot earn a middle-class living to pay for an apartment, forget about a house, to pay for supporting their family, to get their kids through school. They don't earn that much money, and many have to do other jobs until the miracle comes.
Yeah.
Until the miracle comes. Last example, Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks, until they joined Fleetwood Mac and earned plenty of money, they had albums out, real record albums, a record deal, but she was working in a restaurant to support them. And they had no furniture. They could barely get by. Of course, Eurythmics, Annie Lennox, Dave Stewart. They could just afford to buy the instruments, and finally they came up with Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, and finally became famous and rich. I guess, I hope they're rich, because they deserve it.
Yeah, I think they are.
By the way, for those who want to hear, you have a band called Pocket Gods. Do you have any music that's more than 30 seconds that we can listen to?
We do, yeah. I mean, we've been recording music for 25 years now. We've released 76 albums, believe it or not, in that time. So there's a lot of music out there. Most of it is 3-minute indie pop songs. You know, we're big fans of the Beatles, the Ramones. That's where we come from. And we've gone through all the genres in our time, from country rock to pop to electro. So we've done a lot of genres. The 30-second song thing is a recent thing for this campaign. And I don't know what the next album will be, sometime next year, hopefully. So, yeah, music is still a big part of what I do. You can check us out there, the Pocket Gods, thepocketgods.com website. Links to everywhere. And, you know, we've had high-profile champions over the years. We've had the likes of John Peel, who was a famous Radio 1 DJ in Britain. And also I know he's passed away recently, but Seymour Stein, who was head of vice president of Warner Music and Sire Records, he was a fan of ours. So that was great as well.
The Pocket Gods. Yeah, I see it right here. I see it right here. They have a Christmas single out, The Pocket Gods, on BBC News. You know, check them out. Listen, they're working hard for 25 years. They deserve to get a decent paycheck for all their efforts. We all do.
Thanks.
Let's move. You're very welcome. Let's transition from music to UFOs. And sometimes there is no difference, because a lot of artists have recorded UFO songs.
Sure.
How did you get involved in UFO research? Because UFO research pays less than music, I think.
Yeah. Does it pay anything? I mean, basically, I've always been fascinated in the paranormal and UFOs. Since as a kid, I saw there was a program on British TV called Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World. And Arthur C. Clarke was the author of 2001 A Space Odyssey. And he did this, and it's pretty, you know, hard-nosed scientist. He invented the communications satellite. So he's a proper scientist, but he investigated the paranormal and UFOs with an open mind. And this TV series was mind-blowing. It came out as a kid. And it just awakened an interest in me. And at the same time, there was also a magazine that came out called The Unexplained, which looked at UFOs, spontaneous human combustion, alien abductions, and all this stuff. It was like, wow, what is this? There's something more to life than, you know, what we're seeing, really. And that just blew my mind. So I've always had a fascination since then. And then we had the Rendlesham incident in the UK, which has been described as the UK's Roswell. So I took an interest at that. I went to university in England. I did a science degree, so I've got that scientific background, which makes me quite rational and analytical. So I do take a rational approach to UFOs and the paranormal. So I've always been fascinated and always followed what was going on, read the latest books, watched all the documentaries, and, you know, in the meantime doing my band. But then because I made a film about the band and kind of worked out how to make a film, I thought, yeah, I really, really want to make a documentary about UFOs. That's my passion. I know a lot about it. I know, you know, some quite interesting people to interview, like Nick Pope, who used to work for the MOD, Professor Harvey Loeb. These people, you know, just emailed and said, would you be interested? And said, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to do it. So basically I made this film in a couple of months last year. You know, with the background that you've got in the US with the disclosure process, which is, you know, really exciting. I mean, it's not happening in the UK, I have to say, which is disappointing. But it's like, yeah, wow, wow, this is all happening. I really want to get this film out there. And it's called God vs. Alien. So it explores the spiritual, religious impact that first contact or disclosure would have on us. And so taking a slightly different approach because, you know, it would have a profound impact, I think. I really want to make this film, so I just went ahead and did it. It's on a low budget, but it's done really well. It's out on Tubi in the US, and yeah, it's been great. And I'm making more films now, which is cool as well.
Found yourself a new calling.
Yeah, I think so. I'm quite passionate about it. And what I want to do is get the message out there to, you know, not the non-believers, but just the ordinary people, because obviously the UFO community seems to be a bit cliquey and everyone's kind of vying for their own little corner, I think, sometimes. But I want to get the message out there that, you know, get people to open their minds to say, oh, there is something out there. You know, try and make it accessible to the public, really.
Now, when it comes to things like organized religion, UFOs, when we talk about how religion reacts to UFOs, I'm personally aware of one example I knew about. My wife's late uncle, Lewis Kaplan, was one of what some people call a Jew for Jesus, born Jewish, became an evangelist. And if you look up people, Lewis Kaplan is listed on Google. Now, his sect, whatever it is, and I didn't understand it completely. I just knew, here's this guy, and he's my wife's uncle, and that's it. Met him a couple of times. They believed that UFOs were demonic. Now, as a matter of fact, his wife once loaned me a small book, a sci-fi novel, where they were being visited by UFOs, and in order to get rid of the demonic forces, they had to recite the Lord's Prayer to tell ET to go get away. We've got Mark and Gene and Tim, you're in
the Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
USA News Update. Maine's top election official is removing former President Trump from the state's 2024 Republican primary ballot. Maine Secretary of State Shanna Bellows made that decision on Thursday.
I was duty-bound to follow Maine law to ensure the candidates, all the candidates who appear on the primary ballot, are qualified for the office they seek.
Bellows says Trump knew the risks for violence on January 6, 2021, and ignored them, which she believes disqualifies him from seeking office. Trump's team has argued the former president incited nothing that day and was only participating in free speech demonstrations that got out of hand. Netflix has discontinued over a dozen of its TV shows in the current year, including titles like Shadow and Bone, Glamorous, Agent Elvis, and Lockwood and Company. Even the mystery series 1899, which achieved a five-week presence on the Netflix Top 10 chart, faced cancellation. Notably, 5 out of the 14 canceled shows were animated. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. Definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Now, in light of the movie Gods and Aliens, Mark Christopher Lee, I assume you're familiar with such things like the Collins Elite within the government, allegedly within the government, movements where... religious people believe that UFOs are demonic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. It's covered in the film as a couple of people talk about it. You know, the Collins Elite was, you know, allegedly a part of the secret part of the U.S. government that, you know, that investigated UFOs but didn't really want to take it forward because, like you said, they thought they were demonic. And we had the same thing in the U.K. as well. There was a guy called Lord Hill Norton, who was like very high up in the Ministry of Defense, and he wrote a report in the 1970s looking into the UFO movement, and he advised the British government not to investigate it for the same reason that they, you know, he thought they were demonic in origin. And this does come back to how you got Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, the three main monotheistic religions, how they view paranormal phenomena is as demons. So anything kind of unexplained paranormal is automatically seen in that light as a demon. As we go into the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, anything that's a bit mysterious is put down as a demon. That doesn't mean it's correct, but because both the American government and the British government have got quite a large kind of evangelical Christian mindset, this is true. They still don't want to investigate, and that's what I've spoken to Nick Pope, who used to work for the Ministry of Defence in the UK, and he's adamant that, yes, he was told that some parts of the UK government and the US government won't investigate UFOs and won't take them seriously because they're scared. Because, you know, there is this paranormal, slightly weird element to it. I mean, we may get onto this later. I don't think that's the case. I think my own personal opinion, after all the research that I've done, I think there is an otherworldly element to UFOs. I don't necessarily think it's bad. Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that there is this demonic element to UFOs. I think there is a paranormal aspect to them in terms of how they're able to be there 1 minute and then disappear the next. I think there's something weirder than just the physical extraterrestrial spacecraft visiting us. I think there's something possibly interdimensional, a bit kind of otherworldly, a bit like John Keel and the ultra-terrestrials. That's kind of my take on the UFO phenomena.
Of course, Keel talked about ultra-terrestrials, which I don't know, is some sort of godlike being or group of beings, but he said they may be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he thought they were the cosmic joker, that they were here to kind of disrupt us a little bit and play jokes on us, and there was always this mischievous element to them. So, yeah, I mean, that's what he believed. I do think there is something to that. But then again, I tend to think that it's not malevolent. I think it's possibly beneficial and possibly here to help us. That's my own belief.
Do you think maybe that's a bit of wishful thinking? That we hope they're nice to us and they don't wish us ill? Because obviously a highly advanced race, if they wanted to take over, they could do it pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, they could have done it already, I guess. That's the issue. Or maybe they already have. Maybe we are a hybrid race. Maybe they've already interfered with our direction. So we're some sort of hybrid, and that's why they're kind of still watching us and not wiping us out. I mean, I tend to think that it is paranormal, and it is interdimensional, and it is non-malevolent, but I do think there is possibly, you know, like there is good and evil in this world, there is good and evil outside of this world, if you understand what I'm saying.
Tim?
When you talk about the Collins elite, with the with some of the more recent interest in UFOs coming from the United States, especially in the Pentagon, there's been allegations that, once again, there are factions within the Pentagon that are trying to squash these kinds of information getting out because, you know, once again, there are certain factors who believe that the UFO phenomena represents satanic, demonic origins straight from the Bible, and that by gaining a more public interest to it is basically like opening the doors to hell itself for the rest of the world. And, you know, it amazes me that this kind of mindset, because, you know, you think of the military, and I know this is probably, you know, not juvenile thinking on my but you know, you would think that the minds at this place would be a little bit more above that kind of, and I'll just come right out and say it, superstitious type thinking. But there it is.
Yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
but it doesn't. There is that. I think there might be something to that. That, you know, because it seems like disclosure at the moment's kind of hit a dead end, and the vested interests possibly have come forward. I mean, I tend to think that, okay, there may be this element in the Pentagon that thinks they are demonic, and, you know, because they're evangelical Christians and they're scared and they don't want to, you know, let this on the public because it would scare them to death. But I also think possibly the other reason is that the defense contractors, the ones that have the secret black budget, the ones that are trying to own this technology, they're the ones that might have shut it down because they don't want it to go public. So there's also that as well. Because I do think, I mean, I know Grotius alluded to the fact that the US government has downed technology, extraterrestrial UFO technology. Where is it? Who's got it? Who's back engineering it? It would be some subsector of the U.S. Defense Department has been privatized and immune to the Freedom of Information request. That's where it will be. Don't you think?
I don't disagree that sending it out to private industry wouldn't help. I think that it would help in terms of keeping it a secret. The question is, what, if anything, do they have? And I guess we go back to the R word, Roswell, because that's the big thing in American ufology.
Sure.
That maybe we had this crash back in 1947. Mm-hmm. They recovered the wreckage of a flying saucer. Maybe alien bodies, though that's disputed. I think Kevin Randall, one of the premier investigators of Roswell, said that he couldn't nail that down as much as he could nail down the stories of the actual crash. So we don't know. Of course, you're dealing with people remembering something 30 years later that hadn't been documented, except for a brief story early on. Yeah. And we talk about varying memories, some people trying to get in on the act. Oh, I saw that. Here's some additional information. Some people embellishing what happened to them. But if it really happened, if we really recovered the wreckage of an advanced craft from somewhere else, and we could talk about this for a few minutes, my opinion would be that even today we could not dissect the technology. Because if we're talking about a race hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us that could transport between the stars, that is way beyond our current integrated circuits, chips with billions of transistors, way beyond that, using technologies we can only dream of. I don't think we'd have a ghost of a chance of any of this reverse engineering. It would just be something they'd revisit every so often and maybe learn something. Mark, Tim, Gene, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Mark Christopher Lee joining Gene and Tim, and he's got a movie out. He's a rock artist, independent rock artist, but he's got a movie out right now about gods versus aliens. And of course, when you say versus, okay, that implies there is a form of attack here that necessarily religion would be against the existence of beings from other planets. Is that your take?
I think it would have a profound impact, and it would kind of change things a little bit of how we see ourselves in the universe. I mean, it was a deliberately provocative title, I guess, to get people's attention. But the issues in the film are quite serious and quite kind of balanced, I think. But yeah, some of the things we do explore in the film is like, what would happen if the aliens, you know, obviously going to be far more advanced, like you said, just by the fact that they've got here somehow, traversed, you know, millions of light years to get here. Have they done that? So they must be far superior somehow. So would they bring their own gods, their own religion, their own ethical code, or their own lack of gods and impose them on us just by the fact that we'd be far, far superior? So it's like a reverse colonialism, you know, like we went out, Christianized the world to some extent. Would the aliens come to us and impose their beliefs on us? That's the question I wanted to raise. And how would, say, the Catholic Church, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, how would they respond? I mean, some say the Catholic Church is already prepared for this, and there is a cardinal that's already been appointed to deal with first contacts. So, and some have alleged recently that the Catholic Church actually knows a bit more than it's letting on, and it does have its secret archive at the Vatican. So I just wanted to explore these interesting topics in the film. I don't necessarily have all the answers at the moment, but I think we should be talking about them and trying to get to the answers.
It's not just the military or religion that seems to be against this concept that we're the only ones, you know, or that there are others in this universe besides us. I talked once to a physicist here in the United States whose name is Jim Brandenburg. And he told me about this conference that he had where he was showing a group of scientists slides of a meteorite that was found here on Earth that had been ejected from Mars originally. In this meteorite were what appeared to be fossilized microorganisms, you know, like maybe one-celled creatures that, you know, lived, you know, a couple billion years ago on Mars. One of these scientists actually, during this talk, got up and was physically threatening Mr. Brandenburg.
Wow.
Because he was saying that this evidence was going against biblical beliefs. Now, this was coming from another scientist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we have got a really long uphill climb, I think, to convince. I think the general public is a lot more open to the concept of life on other planets and life throughout the universe than even scientists here on planet Earth.
Sure, that's a really good point. I mean, scientists have only just come around since we got the Hubble telescope, that the fact is there's going to be life. There's life is going to be plentiful in the universe. But it's only recently that the science has come around to that. So it is becoming more mainstream now that there's going to be extraterrestrial life everywhere in the universe. It's whether it's visiting us or has visited us. That's the question. I mean, I've spoken to Seth Shostak. He's actually in the film. And he's the chief astronomer of SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. So he's, you know, been active in that, searching for signs, signals in the cosmos that there is extraterrestrial life. And he's adamant, he says this in the film, that, you know, there is no evidence that we've ever been visited by extraterrestrials. He's not convinced at all. But he does think that we will have evidence by 2035. Otherwise, he's going to buy everyone a cup of coffee. That's his bet. So I just wanted to make the point. The film is quite balanced. I tend to think that we have been visited before. But at the end of the day, you know, there are no definitive answers at the moment. So it's all speculation, really. We have no hard proof, don't you think?
Well, don't you think it's interesting, though, that there are a lot of scientists that do believe that the universe is teeming with life, but that they think that it's impossible that we've been visited by this life. I mean, and, you know, the Earth has been around for at least a couple of billion years. And if life is that plentiful out there, why couldn't we be visited?
Sure. I tend to think that we have. But, yeah, why? Indeed. And the scientists that say, oh, it's not possible because of the distances, they're kind of thinking with our mindset that of a planet that's only 2 billion years old, if a planet's been 5 billion years old, it's going to be far more advanced and, you know, will have mastered the physics of the universe. This is what Professor Avi Loeb has suggested, is that, you know, they may make use of extra spatial dimensions in order to traverse the universe to visit us. So we can't think that, okay, well, we can't do it, so it must be impossible. That's just illogical.
Very provincial kind of viewpoint. It's like what they thought at the beginning of the 20th century about what we could do and what we couldn't do, and they couldn't begin to imagine where our technology would be right now. You gave them an iPhone. It doesn't have to be the new one. It could be one few years old like my wife has. And they couldn't figure it out. Maybe they could turn it on until the battery wore out. Maybe you can tear it apart and say, yeah, obviously there's a battery. But the rest, printed circuits, integrated chips, all that stuff, no, they couldn't. Just like I was mentioning before, and I wanted to get your reaction, but we moved on temporarily. Mark, is about reverse engineering, and it becomes the same thing. You can tell me your viewpoint about it going into private industry, which I would agree with, but I don't think we would even now be near being able to do anything with a real spaceship built by a race way ahead of us.
No, you're right, and I think there's evidence in the CIA archives that there were clutching at straws by getting in psychics. This is in the Stargate project. You can download the files from the CIA archive. And they actually got in psychics from around the world to try and be able to work out how to power these crafts, because there was something they thought that mind could power it somehow. So they got psychics from all around the world to try and see if they could help. And that actually happened. And, you know, people like Uri Geller, who I spoke to about this, He was investigated by the CIA because of his psychic powers, and he was found to have, some sort of power. But they wanted to tap into this because they thought it might be able to help unlock, the secret to maneuvering these these craft. So I think you're completely right there, that they haven't got a clue. They might have these craft, but, how do they fly them? But then again, there is evidence that possibly what we're seeing is this reverse engineered technology in the sky. It might not be active extraterrestrials coming to visit us. It might be, secret US military reverse engineered project that's in the sky. And I've spoken to someone recently about this who suggests that this may be the case. There's an author called Neil Nixon, and he thinks it's far more logical that what we're seeing is human technology. But where did it come from? That's the question. If you mastered anti-gravity and all this, it's got to have come from somewhere. How have we made that leap from, the combustion engine, the rocket engine, to anti-gravity technology? That's the question, I think.
I think here in the United States, there is a push with the authorities to try to convince people that UFOs, or UAPs, as they're now calling them, are top secret man-made craft, either from here or from some other country. But you asked the correct question there. If that's the case, where did that leap come from? That leap in technology. I mean, we're still using chemical rockets to get satellites up into orbit, and people are seeing these things going, thousands of miles an hour, making right-hand turns, disappearing and reappearing. Okay, where did that technology just come from?
We're going to do this right-hand turn first. Maybe a left-handed turn, because I'm a lefty. Mark, Gene, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.